I want to thank your minister, Reverend McCray, for giving us the meeting this morning. I know that there's a lot of calls and deputation work, and it gangs up on you, but I appreciate the giving to me this morning's service, so that we can bring a challenge and also just some things, maybe see more on the Saturday night. I think you will see more of the work on Saturday night at the prayer meeting. There, I think you'll see more. But however, Maraming Salamat, thank you very much, brother, for the invitation. The biggest wrench, I suppose the biggest wrench in my Christian life, I got saved on the 4th of November, 62, and then went into the work. Years later, as you know, children's worker down in the Martyrs. And then with the visit to the Philippines and the challenge from the Word of God, we have to come to a decision in life. You either are going to go or you'll stay at home. And I looked at it in this sense, that you'll wait till you're 65, then retire, and then that's it. But however, I felt that the Lord was working on my heart about service elsewhere. And one hymn, other hymns, but this one in particular, Noel Grant here, I would have been on my knees in the Martyrs in the Jubilee, one of the rooms there, and singing this to myself. There is this call is crashing about in your head. The call of God, it is so clear. But friendship's call and home is dear. And then it says, how lonely was the path he trod, then wilt thou not go through with God. And I couldn't get away from that one. And then we're singing, Send the Light, Send the Light. So I would have been standing in the Martyrs prayer meeting singing. We've been singing that for years, Send the Light. But now the thought was shooting into the head as we're standing singing it. Why doesn't someone take it? That's what I was hearing in here. Send the light, send the light. Why doesn't someone take the light? I want you young people to listen. That's going on in here, the challenge. I want to bring a reading of the word of the Lord to you. I'll pass some comments. It's the book of Ruth, please. We're looking at Ruth. And as you find the place, Ruth chapter 1 there, you know this great decision that Ruth made there. It's Ruth chapter 1. I think all believers know this decision here. But maybe some people not familiar here today with this story. And we see three women, a mother, and two daughters-in-law. Pagans they are. They worship idols, these two girls. And the father-in-law has died. And the husbands have died. They're all widows. And here they're coming. A decision has been made by Naomi. I'm going back into Israel again. She left Israel to go down into the land of Moab. There's bread there. So away they go. It may not have been the right decision, but away they go anyway. The husband dies. The two sons die. And after 10 years, the decision is, I'm going back to Israel now. And so I want you to see this group, three women, and here they come. I see them stopping on the borders of Israel. And I hear this in chapter 1, verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And I want you to see them weeping. Imagine the two girls. The both of them are weeping. And Ophrah kissed her mother-in-law. But I want you to notice Ruth. Ruth clave unto her. And she said, 15, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto your people and unto your gods and into darkness. You'll see her standing there, and she's weeping. Her other sister-in-law is going to go forward, but she stands there. She turns her back, and she goes back to her gods. It's decision time. There's a big decision to be made here. God, even today, the Lord can bring you to the borders of decision. Saved and unsaved. We're talking about an unsaved person here. I want you to see stepping into light. I will go with you, Naomi. But no. She turns her back. I see Naomi watching her, probably with a broken heart, going back to her gods. Jehovah's in Israel, but she'll go back to her gods. But let's look at this other girl. Call her Ruth. 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. What you're looking at here, you're looking into the depths of a pagan girl's heart that God has done some work in, and she's going to step out for the Lord. Amen. And this is her heart. This is her. We're looking into her heart here. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. See the determination. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And then, look at this one. Thy people shall be my people. Israel were a peculiar people. Israel dressed different. Israel, they act different. There was a different diet for Israel. Their whole lifestyle was different. Thy people shall be my people. She was wanting to join up with a peculiar people. Amen. The Bible says that you and me, the believer, we are peculiar people. Amen. Say amen, church. Yeah, we're peculiar. We do believe that God made the earth in 6 days. We do believe that he breathed out the sun and the moon and the stars. We do believe that he takes a handful of dust and makes a man called Adam and a woman called. We do believe that. We're peculiar. Amen. Yeah. We are peculiar. We believe it. This book's the Word of God too. Amen. Not a revised version, the AV version. Amen. Not right, brother? Yeah, we're peculiar. Well, we worship peculiar. It's the right way. Our worship is the right way. But outside there, they think it's peculiar. Amen. We are a peculiar people. We believe in God. Amen. And then in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension and his coming back again, we are a peculiar people. And this girl, Ruth, here she is standing on the borderline, and she says, your people will be my people. Amen. Okay, church, it's marvelous. And then this to say, your God will be my God. Amen. If you're not saved today, this is your language. This will be the language. Do you see your God? I want him to be my God. Amen. I want him to be my Savior. Praise the Lord. You unsaved people, stand beside Ruth today and listen to her. She's a pagan. She worships false gods. And here she is, and it's decision time for her. And she says, I'm going right. I'm going to follow you. Amen. Naomi, where you go, I go. I like that language. Amen. And it goes on, verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also of aught but death part thee and me. Now, Naomi, we're looking at Naomi now, and look at it, verse 18. And when she saw, when Naomi saw, what did Naomi see? Look at it, that she was steadfastly minded to go. Amen. Okay, you read the book of Acts chapter 2, you will read that 3,000 people were saved that day in the book of Acts chapter 2. And then you will find that they continued what? What did they continue in? They continued steadfastly, amen. Just confirm, what did they continue steadfastly in? The apostles' doctrines. Amen. That's what they continue. And in prayers, and in the breaking of bread, and in fellowship. There's four anchors, brother. Amen. Acts chapter 27, they threw out the anchors. Okay, brother. The ship was sinking. Amen. They threw out four anchors there. Throw them out. They're throwing them out today. We don't like the anchor of doctrine. Throw it out. We don't like this anchor of fellowship and prayer. What's the use of praying? Who are we praying to? You know what I mean? They're throwing the anchors out. I better stay with the book of Ruth. Amen. But I want you to see the determination. And this girl is steadfast. Amen. What are we looking for? We're looking for people who are steadfastly minded to go. Amen. Okay. Come into Ruth chapter 2, and we're following this girl. We're following her. Naomi had a first one, had a kinsman of her husband's, mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. We're not looking at Boaz, we're looking at Ruth. Verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, says unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. That's it. She has settled down now. She's dwelling with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And now her heart is stirred to work. Amen. Do you see her request? She is asking permission to go to the field. Let me now go to the field. I remember when I'm talking about the Philippines, I have to talk to my minister on session on different occasions, my minister being Dr. Paisley. He has opened the door. God uses him to open the door for me to go into children's work 25, maybe longer years before that. This talk now about the Philippines. So I'm talking to him. I feel I should go to the Philippines, Dr. Paisley. And never once, does he say, don't go. Never once. There, I see him sitting in the office, spread out there. And never once does my minister say, Noel, don't you go. Along with the elders, talk. I know that they will not want me to make the wrong decision. I know that. I don't want to make the wrong decision myself. But I feel in here that there's something pushing in here, in the heart. Go. And I'm saying, let me now go to the field. I get a phone call from Stormont, two phone calls. Marie picks them up. I come in. You have to go to Stormont. Dr. Paisley wants to talk to you. So when you hear those words, your knees begin to knock a bit. I say to Marie, it's possible that the financial artery is cut today. If it is, I will go back to shoveling concrete with Big Jimmy. Okay. That was my heart. I enter that room in Stormont. How long have you been working with us? It could be 25 years, Doc. We have agreed to let you go to the Philippines for 1 year. That's the heart of the man. You come back and you tell us what God wants you to do. Go. Amen. Do you notice? Let me now go to the field. And in the same verse, and she said unto her, go, my daughter. You go to the field. And the doors open. Praise the Lord. And then my attention was drawn a couple of Sunday nights ago to verse 3. Look at those few words. She went. Mark that in your Bible. She went. Lots of people emotionally moved. Lots of people say when you're talking to people, I would go if God called me. You see, that's a famous line. I would go, you know, if God called me. Amen. I have a feeling God's calling out of the Bible, you see. Anyway, you know, who will go for us? I have a feeling that God is calling, and it's up to you and me to answer the call. But however, that's the way I think about it. But anyway, go, and go we did. Praise the Lord. And some people were saying, well, why is Noel going to the Philippines? Imagine why. But however, we got there and we felt that the field was, and in particular, the garbage site. The providence of God. Believe in the providence of God. Amen. Do you? Do you believe in the providence of God? Amen. The provenance, you search, you go home and you work, just you look at your own life and you'll see the providence of God working in little things, small things, and you'll find God was in that decision. God was there. The providence of God. So we're out this day, and a voice in the back of the van says, Uncle Noel, will you go to my street? Where is your street? Okay, down, turn right, and we're in the garbage area. No concrete then, brother, concrete for you. No concrete then, just muck and gutters, you know what that is. Go deep into it, walk through it, and I thought, this is the place to be. Amen. This is the field. Amen. The field of service. I loved it. Amen. The field. I've wrote some things down here. And it was mentioned even in prayer. Our brother mentioned it. It can be a lonely place. The field. It can be a very lonely place. The field. You can be surrounded with people, but it can be a lonely place. And then the field, of course, it's a place of sacrifice. Place of sacrifice. You begin to think, if I took sick, what would these people do? The first thing they would do is grab your hand, start bending your fingers and your toes as well. They're into that sort of stuff, you know. But however, you just wonder at times, sometimes it can be a scary place. I got a mobile call up to my room. We think there's people at there's somebody at the gate, the Yale. There's two gates up to my room, both locked, and then there's three dogs. Members of Pitbull family, so you get by them too, you see. So I get this call. They're all right. They're friends with friendly people, brother. I get this call. So I come down and I have a machete. It's that length. You know what a machete is? So I say, I'll take a dog out and we'll step out into this car park. You lock the gates, and no matter what happens, don't you open these gates. Okay, brother? So out you go with a machete. And a dog, and begin to search. There's nothing there. Of course, he's not going to wait on me and a machete, is he? No. He might have two machetes. I might do the running. But however, you know, that doesn't happen every night, so you're okay, brother. It's all right. But, you know, it can be that sort of in the mind. But let's talk the field. You expect the field to be a fruitful place. That's what we expect. A fruitful place. The field can become a fruitful place. Amen. The field. So I'll let you young people, I'll talk about that in a minute, but I'll let you young people see this field business. So you see in verse 8 there, the field. And Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Now, some Filipinos would say to me, Noel, you see, if you go to Baguio is away, 6 hours away, and it's way up in the mountains, and it's a beautiful, it's a holiday sort of resort there, beautiful place. And of course, they say the air is cleaner and much better there. So I say, are you trying to tell me to make a decision on where God wants you to be because the air who's better went down here in this squatter area. Imagine going out to another field. Amen. And then verse 9, YP, young people, YP. This is what you need to do. Aye. Let thine eyes be on what? The field. Amen. Get your eye on a field. Fix your eye on a field. It's great to have ambition. And you must have ambition. If you don't have ambition, what's life? What is life? You need ambition. But I'm telling you, if you put your ambitions before the field and God is speaking, you'll be in trouble. You'll be in trouble. Jonah got into trouble, didn't he? He was in trouble. What are you doing in the belly of a fish? Talk to Jonah. Amen. The feet. Let your eyes be on the feet. You'll be tempted to get your eye off the field. You may not like the field. And God is saying, I want you to go there. And by choice, we may not like it, but it's where God wants us to be. And God is saying, listen, you keep your eye on the field. Amen. Okay, church, you young people, what's your eye on? Well, Hudson Taylor was engaged to be married. Hudson Taylor, at the age of 6 years old, he jumps up to his papa and he says, Papa, when I'm a man, I'll go to China. But he's a teenager now. He's getting a bit older and he's betrothed to be married. And then God speaks to Taylor. What about China? Okay, young people. Aye, what about the field, Hudson? And Hudson has to get down on his knees and wrestle with all this business. And he's told her, if you marry my daughter, you'll not be taking her to China. You won't be going to China, Hudson. If you marry my daughter, you're not taking her to China. And all the time in here, Taylor's thinking about China now. Yeah, it's God working. It's supernatural. It's the Holy Ghost working in the boy's heart. Amen. And then he makes his decision. I must go to China. Amen. Are you listening, young person? Let your eyes be on the field. Keep it on the field. Pray over the field. We don't know what field God wants you to go. He knows. He'll let you know in due time. The problem is, am I prepared to go to the field? Okay. And mama and papa in the service today, if your daughter, if your son comes into you and they've spent 4 years in university and they've passed with distinctions and they are now qualified, whatever, and they say to you, Papa, I think God wants me to be a preacher. You say, Amen, son. We will support you. Praise the Lord. I think God wants me to go to the mission field. Amen, son. We will support you. I know Filipinos, when they came to that decision, the parents said, we'll not support you. We're not going to do this. Okay? Support the boy or your son or daughter into the field of service. Keep your eye on the field. Amen. And then you'll notice that in verse 17, that she gleaned in the field. Pray, thank God there's a gleaning in the field. Amen. There are souls to be saved. That's the whole purpose of it all. Amen. Verse 19 there. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? That's a good question, isn't it? Ruth comes home and she's asked, where were you today? Gleaning, Ruth. They're searching questions, church. And where wroughtest thou? And then the last one, verse 22. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Praise the Lord. There's your field. So study the field, amen. The field of service. The place where you're going to glean souls, amen. It might be lonely. It might, the mosquitoes might be eating you, and cockroaches flying about you like butterflies, and the smell, the stink at times when it's hot, and all the rest of it, and typhoons and everything. I remember one year we were walking up a road on the other side of the prison. It's up to here. It's like a river coming down the road and going to visit people. And they're, of course, they're flooded like this too. Amen. It's rough, but praise the Lord. It's the field, amen. That's the important thing. It doesn't matter the condition of the field. If God says, I want you to go to that field, you go, amen. And there will be a gleaning. There'll be a gleaning. I'll let you, Chris, big German. I've mentioned him before. Chris, big German. There. And he's married to a Filipino. We have four children now, walking his Alsatian dog. So we stop him and he's smoking. Who are you? By Chris. But however, come to church, and he comes to church. And one day he comes to see me early in the morning. The question is, what have I to do to join your church? I say, Chris, it's not my church. It belongs to the Lord. Amen, church. Yeah, it's the Lord's church. And if you want to join it, you must be born again. He says, yeah, as he says, yeah. Yes. I'm leaving the next day to come home. I say, Chris, you talk to these people. They'll talk to you about the Lord. He's heard it from the platform, the pulpit. Chris got saved, amen. Still there, still in the church, you'll meet him. He's a German. Then there's an American one day. This fellow with a haversack on his back. And he's coming and drop the window down. Yo, shout at him. You know, where are you? Who are you? Where are you going? You say, oh, surprise, another white man. He's married to a Filipino too. Tells us, come to church, Dustin by name. And so Dustin comes to church, and he asks the Lord into his heart. The child was dedicated 6 months ago in the church, married to a lovely Filipino Christian girl. I being in the way, the Lord led us. Amen. Noah, go to the Philippines for a year. Let us know your mind. I'm telling you, there's gleaning in the field. David Shields, Noel Shields' son, he sends me an email. He says, my son wants to go to the Philippines. Would you put him up for 2 weeks, David? And Noel says, I have to tell you, Noel, one Noel talking to another Noel, he's not saved. Would that be a problem? No, it's not a problem. We're very glad to have him. Amen. Just tell him to come so we meet him at the airport and bring him down. A well-mannered boy is David Shields. Well-mannered boy. Never once do I preach to him like this and tell him, David, you know your father and your mother's missionaries and you need to be saved, you know, and they're praying for you. Never once do I talk to him like that. Not once. But the wee Filipinos are shifting a lot of timber. And I hear them saying, are you a Christian, David? Are you saved, David? And I'm laughing up my sleeve. I'm saying, I wonder how you're going to get out of this. I'm laughing at them, poking at them, you say. Aye. Do you see the last day? The last day. I'm crawling out from the bedroom. Hands and knees. And he's standing, 5 o'clock in the morning, he's standing looking down at me. He says, Uncle Noah, I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart last night. I wanted to wake you up and tell you, but you're just let you sleep. Pray for David. He's in Australia now. Got a text from him 2 nights ago. It's lonely, Noah, and it's difficult. But he's talking about coming over. Fella needs fellowship. Come over for a holiday, tell us, David. Pray for him. Aye. And I'm thinking, church, the decision made to go, you're always wondering, and a whole lot of other people wonder too. But you meet a German, and you meet an American, and you meet, shall I say, an Irishman. And they all get converted. I say, praise the Lord. Filipinos, really, you girls, you listen to this. This is a girl who was living in a shack. It's now a blockhouse. 12, 14 years ago, it was a shack. Did you hear this? This year is one of my memorable years in my life, because I experienced walking up the aisle wearing a black coat and a black cap. She's walking with me. She's not getting married at school. Up the aisle. I want to thank you, Uncle, for walking beside me that day. Brackets, I have an imported father that day. As I walk on that aisle, my mind is thinking, saying, Micah, this is a quote now, after this day, it's the day of her graduation, she felt that she should go to a Bible college. She thought God was speaking to her about Bible college in that area. And she wanted to go to college. And when I found that out, I said, by the grace of God, we will get you to Bible college. It's our first fruit of one person in a Bible college. Amen. And we got her there. And now she's writing about her final day. We're going up with her. She's going to pass out, amen, graduate, the word. So she's saying, Micah, after this day, that will be the start of your battle. Are you listening, girls? This is a Filipino pagan converted to Christ. I know it is. I want to serve God until the day that I may have white hair like the Reverend McRae. I know that I'm older than you, and you will have your chance, your opportunity to get one back. Amen. It doesn't say that. That's my application. Wait here. Imagine I was learning and reading Genesis, and I read in one verse saying, quote, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" This is a Filipino pagan girl converted at the age of 10 in the Sunday school, the first Sunday school, amen. As I read that verse, it encourages me. Being a servant of God is really hard, isn't it, brother? Joyful but difficult, amen. Because the eye, and you too, son, you as well, difficult but joyful, amen. Because the eye of the enemy is upon us. Many trials, many persecutions, and stepping stones will come up. But because of that verse, it made me strong. Amen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen, church. Amen, church. Say amen. We've lost the amen. Aye, we've lost it, you know. Aye, I keep shouting to the Filipinos on a Sunday, say amen, and they all say amen, and I think they understand me. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's Jamaica. We Jamaica, we give out biscuits. Aye, we have her biscuit. She goes home and tells her sister, Jenny Rose, a couple of years older, Jenny, come to Sunday school. You'll get a biscuit. Amen. I wish I had a million of them now. And if we get two girls like that, it would be worth a million biscuits. She plays the piano. One finger, sister. One finger, learning all the time. One finger, two fingers. Now the both hands flying up and down. Amen. It's marvelous. I'm telling you, the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in her eyes. Amen. Johnny Rose. Then we, Sharon. Sharon lived in a shack with green water, dirty green water, and the mosquitoes bouncing in it in the morning and then in the evening, stinking. Totally stinking. Jewels. So we helped her with university. 6 years of it. She's now a qualified architect, brother. Sharon, I'm telling you, this girl will be working out plans for these high-rise apartments, just 60 high, coming out of that squatter area. Then there's Mark, and there's Christian, and there's a whole dose of them, all converted, praise the Lord, gleaned in the field. Now, you young people, we say, only one life, soon be past. Only what's done for God will last. Shucks. There was one day before the group came out. There was eight in the group. I need to say this. I go to the ATM machine. You have insufficient funds. That'll shock you. We do have a feeding program. We do have to say, stop. You have insufficient funds. That's the first time in 14 years. It might be my fault because I'm not the best at propagating it. But however, church, today I thank you for your prayers. I do thank you for helping us financially. Macrofeld. I trace my service in the Lord's work. I meet Barry Stewart years ago I know the Reverend McRae, and he took us under their wing. Amen. Mm-hmm. I say thank you. Only one life. I have one regret. UIP, you listen to this. I have one regret. Dr. McRae, Billy Woods then, Dr. Woods today. He's home in furlough. It's maybe January, it might be February, it might even be March. I'm just converted months. It's his first furlough home in the old building in the Ravenhill Road. The place is packed. He gives out the challenge. He cries out, "What about it, young man? What about it?" Answering the call, "What about it?" I'm sitting four rows back, just about there. I want to jump up out of my seat and shout up at him, "It's me," but I don't. I don't. At the door, going out the door, he shakes the hand and he says, "What about it, young man?" I don't know him. He doesn't know me. I smile at him. I shake his hand. I step out onto the Ravenhill Road. And I know that every step I take up that road is taking me further and further away from the call of God, sir. I know. I have only one regret, that I didn't answer the call earlier. When it came. And yet God, in his mercy, I stand at a machine years later, a big turning machine, and I think the Lord is giving us a second chance. I take it with both hands. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Go. And she went. That's what you will have to face, young person. I finish. The call of God, it is so clear. But friendship's call, and home is dear. How lonely was the path he trod. Wilt thou not go through with God? Thank you very much. Amen.
The words of that hymn, we're not going to sing anymore. But listen to the words of this hymn. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. the Master's praises. What are men? Men die in darkness at thy side without a hope to cheer the tomb. Take up the torch and wave it wide. The torch that lights time's thickest gloom. Toil on, faint not, keep watch and pray. Be wise, the erring soul to win. Go forth into the world's highway. Compel the wanderer to come in. Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice. For toil comes rest, for exile's home. Soon shalt thou hear the bridegroom's voice, the midnight peal. Behold, I come. Go labor on while yet 'tis day. The world's dark night is hastening on. Speed, speed thy work. Cast sloth away. It is not thus that souls are won. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to ensure that God's servant stays in the field. Help us to be like the one of old. She did what she could. Oh God, bless our brother Noel. Use him in the Philippines. And take folks from this place. Yes, Lord, we're willing to give them up. To take the gospel to those that are lost. To go to the field. In Jesus' name. Amen.